and welcome to episode 461 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. I'm sounding exceptionally NPR-ish.
I love it. I'm here for it.
I'm getting that NPR vibe from my voice today. Megan, let's start with you.
I feel like you sound like you're going to be like sweaty balls.
That's actually what I thought of. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
Joseph?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Hello, guys. It's so nice to see you again.
This week on Serial.
Joey, we're here to stage an intervention for you. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. Yay.
Megan, did Joey tell you about the charcuterie board?
No.
Sorry. You want to go, Joey, since you are
No, please.
I don't want to co-opt this as an ally.
No, I give you permission as an ally to tell the story, so please.
I was scrolling through my Twitter feed and somebody was making fun of this charcuterie board that Target is selling for their Pride collection. It's a pretty standard looking charcuterie board, but it's burned in the bottom. It says, "It's giving charcuterie."
Oh my God.
And I was like, "What?" And I'm like, "Joey, look at this. This is terrible." And then like two hours later, "Look what I've got."
He bought it. Oh my God.
I bought it.
Oh my God, I love that. I love that for you.
So Joey, what else do they have in the Target 2024 Pride collection?
A lot of really ugly clothes. They have
wear it with pride.
You wear it with pride. But they have let me pull it up. I looked at it because I was just like, what are they gonna have for Pride this year? There's like a lot of, ugly rainbow, a lot of rainbow stripes. There's like, I think I saw like a clear plastic rainbow bag, which I thought was really ugly. Usually I buy like one or two things but just like dumb little stuff, like a really gay charcuterie board. But they have like these like stupid little like tchotchke birds that are basically like figurines, but they're stuffed, but they have like little pride clothes or colors on them. They're just really dumb. And I was like, every year when there's all the hubbub about Target Pride, it was like, they're not really just homophobic. They're just like, take this down. We hate it. Oh, it's because it's ugly. Not because we hate gay people. It's because it's all ugly. No, it's really because I hate gay people. The only other thing that I liked in it is there is like a set of four, like sort of really gay looking like small drink glasses, but I would feel weird, like I feel like when I was younger everything surrounding gay stuff was all rainbow stuff, and now anytime I see a ton of like insanely blatantly rainbow things, I'm like, that's fine, I don't need that.
Well, you know that America has embraced pride when the corporations have managed to turn it into a money-making opportunity.
Yeah, I know, seriously.
You guys have disposable income? Come on over here.
You don't have kids.
You don't have kids. By all means, buy your bulldog another motorcycle jacket.
Oh, too funny. Well, speaking of pride, today we're talking about Jessica Lange.
Gay rides.
that is like the most bizarre segue I've ever done, I think. This week we are talking about the HBO TV movie The Great Lillian Hall, which they snuck in at the very last minute into the 2024 Emmy cycle. They never premiere a movie on Friday nights, but this premiered on Friday night. And what we'll do today is we'll talk about the movie, we'll talk about the performances, talk about Jessica Lange, and then kind of segue into a brief conversation about the Emmy race for limited series / TV movie lead actress. And pose it, especially now that Anna Sawai has moved into drama with Shogun, whether or not Jessica Lange can make it into the top five for, or is it six? Is it top? It's six, isn't it? It depends.
It fluctuates. Yeah,
it depends, it'll fluctuate.
Yeah,
the five or six lead actresses. And Joey, you told me this the other day. It's been since the early 2000s, since we've had a performance from a TV movie to make it into this category.
What?
Yeah, I think the last person was, I think it was 2017 or 18, actually. I think it was Laura Dern for The Tale.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, wait, and 2000, when was it?
17 or 18.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you said 2000. I was like, what?
But I don't think anybody has, no one.
I think I should won since Julianne Moore, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Julianne Moore from Game Change.
Wow.
I'll confirm that as we continue.
Yes, please confirm.
Yes, thank you so much. God knows we don't want to say something wrong.
Hold the space.
While you're looking that up, I will launch us into a conversation about The Great Lillian Hall, which is, like I said, a TV movie starring Jessica Lange, Kathy Bates, and Lily Rabe. Lillian Hall is played by Jessica Lange. She is basically a classically trained, very famous Broadway actress who is of a certain age and is in rehearsals for a hotly anticipated revival of The Cherry Orchard by Chekhov, and is having trouble remembering her lines in a way that she has never encountered before. While she's doing this, there's a documentary crew that's kind of filming and talking about her life and talking about her background. Lily Rabe plays her daughter, who struggles with a connection with her very famous actress mother. Kathy Bates plays her manservant, Edith. there's a couple of other, Jesse Williams plays the director of the play. Pierce Brosnan is the guy next door that I thought they were going to say was a made up person, but apparently right. Isn't a made up person.
Yes.
let's talk about this. I will say, I think I was very entertained by this film. I think it is a movie that I think you could have made in 1940 with like Betty Davis.
Oh, interesting.
And you would not have to change anything about the film. Maybe a couple of modern references. But I do think that this is an incredibly, and maybe purposefully so, very old-fashioned melodrama. And I like it for that. Now, I know that's not going to be everybody's tastes. But for me, this is all about Jessica Lange and Lily Rabe, who I think give tremendous performances. And I think Jessica Lange probably gives my favorite performance of this Emmy season.
Wow.
There's a lot more that we can talk about, but I want to hear what you guys think first before we sort of dive into it. Megan.
I liked it. I'm glad you said melodrama, because I think I sent Joey a message just like, is this melodramatic or is it just me?
I saw that right when you started recording.
It's so melodramatic. I think it reminded me, I kept thinking, oh, wow, this has to be inspired by The Father. I was thinking about, Anthony Hopkins movie. It had a lot of elements of that, I felt like. It took me a little bit to get into it, but then once I did, I thought it's good. I think... I almost feel like it would have been interesting to see this expanded over like a few episodes to go back in time and stuff. You really, because I feel like there are a lot of things I would like to have explored more, like maybe the relationship with Lily Rabe. I think that the poignant moment at the end where she like turns to her and sees her in the crowd is so beautiful. And Lily Rabe is so good in that moment too. And, but I feel like I wanted to learn more about, maybe that's the point. But I liked it. I will say the one thing that kind of threw me off a little bit is that when Lily Rabe is talking about her mother coming in from a show and she would always sing to her and it's like, hush, little baby, which I thought that is the most like cliche song you can sing. And it kind of took me out. I'm like, any other song, like I just felt like any song, but it felt like that was something like that's what is that was in the public domain. Is that why you chose that? It just was a weird selection for me. But then also at the same time, maybe it was because she didn't have a connection with her kid, and that was the only song she could. But I'm like, you're a Broadway actress. Come on. You could have thought of something else. It just was weird. I thought it was a weird element. But I thought that the acting was great. I mean, this is Jessica Lange's, like, in her wheelhouse. I thought that Kathy Bates looks so lovely and is so good in this. And, I wanted more from the story. But, I mean, that goes to show that, you know, that this, there is something there, but I guess I also wondered about the stakes too, that like, why doesn't she just bow out? What is it with her pride? I wanted a little more push from that, like, does she need the money? I don't know. I just, I had some questions about that, but I do think it's a, you know, a worthy entry into the race. It's pretty good.
Joey, what did you think before we start diving into some of that?
Sure. I actually liked it quite a bit. I think the acting is really good. I will say, I feel like I hated everything that Kathy Bates did in this movie. I think her accent, her dialect coach was Rizza the Rat from The Muppets. and I hated. You have this big, beautiful moment at the end of the movie, which I think the movie is actually incredibly well paced. I was like, I turned it on. I was like, okay, it's almost 2 hours. And then at one point I was like, oh, I wonder how much is left. Like, I wasn't bored. I was actually quite, I think I was prepared to like sort of be like, all right, it's fine. But I think the acting elevates probably a pretty, like a pretty solid, okay script. I think the acting is obviously the reason to come to this thing. And I hate it at the very end when Kathy Bates pulls out a flask. I hated that so much. You have this big, beautiful moment, and I feel like the whole thing is like, well, helping with dementia is hard. And I also have other like sort of like snarky questions. I was like, is Kathy Bates technically part of the union now? I will say this is the most excited anyone has ever been for any production of The Cherry Orchard in the history of the world. And that comes from being the only fucking faggot, I can say that as Pride Month, the only fucking faggot in my Foundations of Modern Drama class. Then we was like, let's talk about The Cherry Orchard. I was like, I love The Cherry Orchard. Like, I was the only person in the whole class that liked it. And the whole time, and they were like, this is The Cherry Orchard. This is high art. And also, like, I don't remember a lot of the text of The Cherry Orchard. Who knew that The Cherry Orchard was such an uproarious romp? I did not remember that, but I would be willing to be wrong and maybe even read the text again. However, also, that producer, we're going to talk about the ruthlessness of how dementia can ravage a person's psyche and well-being. Let's talk about how the pressure to put on a Broadway revival of a Chekhov play will lead to your producer being the most ruthless bitch in the whole world.
So, I thought that too. I'm like, I did have some respect, assholes. Like, she is the great lady of Broadway, and you're treating her like shit. I just don't know if I bought that either. Like, I don't know.
Oh, I think that is very true because I feel like a lot of people on Broadway are assholes.
No, and I think it's very true too because she's trying to protect her investment that she didn't care about Lillian Hall at all.
Do you think they would treat Patti LuPone like that?
If Patti LuPone were 70 and couldn't remember her lines, yes, I do.
Patti LuPone is 70, but she can remember her lines.
Well, 80. I think they would treat anybody like
no
that.
No longer.
Sorry, what, Joey?
I was going to say, she, you know, but, and they might yell about Patti LuPone at the minute. They would probably be like, did she hear me?
Like, she would strike them down.
She would beat them up so fast. I thought it was really, I liked it way more than I thought I would, and it was just sort of like I read that Meryl Streep was originally attached to this.
I read that too,
and then it was also just like, I'm glad that I mean, this is so, you know, that thing that you love about Jessica Lange, that like fragility, emotional thing that has basically been part of her brand for like, I feel like 20 years now.
20 years
been there.
No, I mean, 40. I mean,
it's always been But also, like, I felt like there was at one point, anytime she did a line from Streetcar, I was like, maybe she didn't do Streetcar. Is she too old to play Blanche DuBois? Yes, would I care? I feel like this could turn into like a really easy like gay drinking game. Like, yeah, street car. I don't know. Stella. That's all. No, I liked it. I liked it way more than I thought it would.
I found there were some things I knew. The Pierce Brosnan character, I think, didn't really add very much to it at all. I would have actually enjoyed more time in the theater or with more scenes with Lily Rabe. You know, I just that it, I think maybe it bothers me so much because I did watch the whole thing thinking that this was a manifestation of hers and we were going to come up at the very end and Kathy Bates was going to go look over that, you know, look on the balcony and look at the other side and there wasn't going to be anybody there or, you know, it was going to be like cobwebs on the windows or something like that.
No one's lived there for 20 years. One of those.
Yes, exactly. So I thought he was good. I just think the role didn't offer anything. But I thought one thing that I think is really interesting about it is it balances theatricality and practicality very well, where theatricality is obviously embodied by Jessica Lange as Lillian Hall and practicality is Lily Rabe. And the way that those two characters just don't really ever come together, don't really connect, you get that sense of, even though it is, I don't know, what is this, 90 minutes, 2 hours, something like that, an hour and 45, it's a short thing. You do get a sense through their talents of a lifetime of missed opportunities, a lifetime of missed connections. Lillian is, you know, they love each other, but they're not there for each other quite as much as you would expect, right? Did you get that sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And I think they do a really great job of sort of building that bridge without explicitly showing, you know, backstory and backstory and backstory. But, you know, as I said before, to me, I mean, I agree with everything that you have all said. To me, it's all about Jessica Lange's performance. And as you say, Joey, her trademarked fragility.
Yeah.
I messaged clients like 30 minutes into the movie. I was like, oh my God, she can't fold a piece of paper. Like, she can do the way that she just plays that entire scene. You know, it is so sad. And I messaged him. I was like, oh my God, that's like the saddest thing I've seen in a long time. And he's like, oh, Joey. He's like, just wait. And I was like, oh, fuck.
I will say, and
Jason, I did ask him, I was like, Jason, is that something they would do? And he's like, yep, that's exactly what they would do. And I was like, oh my God, wow. Finally, a movie does something that my husband, who complains about everything related to medicine and movies, actually complimented.
I was just reading, apparently, this is based on a Marianne Seldes, who is the aunt of the screenwriter. So it's loosely inspired by her life. She was going through something similar to this, where I think that's why the documentary pops up, because there was a documentary about this actress.
See, I kind of didn't like the documentary stuff.
I didn't either, yeah.
Because I thought it sort of stilted the momentum of it. And for something that doesn't go into the past and explains anything, because it stays very present for the most part, but anytime it went away from them, like, stop it, stop doing that.
There's a moment, and this is kind of why I was saying, oh, Joey, just you wait. There's a moment, and I don't know if they've impacted you guys the same way, but there's a moment where Jessica Lange's character has, I think she's fallen on the stage at that point, or she's hit her head and she's been taken to the hospital, and her daughter comes up and they start to have admittedly a very high melodrama moment where Lily Rabe finds out that her mother's got dementia from the doctor. And then she goes in there and then her mother starts to go into a dementia like induced fit. That moment that tore me up. Kathy Bates that's some of her best work, because she's not, you know, putting on the accent. She's cowering in that moment. She's crying, you know, she can't handle it. That scene I thought was very, very well done.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, HIPAA violation. She's not a shoulder.
Yeah, I thought about that. Well, she's the daughter, right? You can tell.
No.
No.
I don't think you can. According to, again, my husband, who, yes, He actually was. He was sort of. He was on the couch watching it. And he was looking at. I looked over at him. He was not. He was looking at his phone, and it just very quietly. He goes, "HIPAA." Just really,
can't win them all.
No. That scene is so. Also, the gay doctor. Hey, go to support you on your Broadway opening night.
Yeah.
Pride. Happy Pride, everybody.
But I also thought she was really great in those highly theatrical moments where she's going through the cherry orchard, and the staging of those moments, the cinematography, the lighting, those are all very, very effective. And it made me want to see a production of the cherry orchard with her. I don't know that I've ever seen the cherry orchard, but it made me want to know more about this play. But then I read a description of it. And I'm like, good.
It's really the thing at the end when you see the guy walk in at the end after like she says goodbye. I was like, that guy, I don't know if it's really explicitly said in the script. I was like, that guy dies. He's boarded up in the house. That's how the cherry orchard ends. Everybody leaves the property and they board up the house. And the guy's like, wait, you all left me here. So he's not like, he can't just like leave. He's boarded up in the house. He's going to die there.
Oh my God.
That's how the cherry orchard ends.
Ew. All right.
Russia.
Russia in this takes place in the cherry orchard set during the October Revolution, right? Or just before it, like where the Bolsheviks started to take over.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Megan, you were going to say something?
I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, I think I was going to say it was the ending, like The Call, like Halle Berry's The Call movie. Oh, kind of the same ending.
Oh my God. That is not what I expected to happen on this podcast.
Sorry,
oh my God,
I
Megan.
Love that movie so much.
Oh.
You did too, bitch.
I know, but I didn't expect you to bring it up, and I could see her with that perm. Can you make the headline of this podcast post say something about The Call, please? However you want. That's fine. Megan.
Sorry.
All right. Anything else about The Great Lillian Hall?
No.
All right. So let's talk about limited series TV film actress. So we have, I think the biggest thing standing against Jessica Lange is the fact that it is coming out on May 31st. And the Television Academy isn't known for its late breaking, its embracing of late breaking material of late. That said, it is Jessica Lange, right?
Right. So. And I do think that it helps that it's like, I'm sure as actors probably have their greatest fears is losing their art, you know, and I feel like it taps into that. That was one thing I kept thinking about watching this, like the fact that she's losing her words, losing her, like, what a nightmare for an actor. And I thought, oh, I feel like they're really going to like react to that.
Yeah, I think it's very possible. And there's a lot of conversation about Jessica Lange right now because she does have Day's Journey Into Night coming up at some point, hopefully by the end of the year.
She's also nominated for a Tony now.
Yep.
Or as an,
which she is not going to win.
No. But
Is that the one that Sarah Paulson's going to win?
Or no, I think it's going to be Rachel McAdams. Yeah.
I'd love if she won. Oh my God, I'd be so excited.
Because that play, I don't know, Joey, what do you think?
I would probably think it's Sarah Paulson because apparently everybody loves that play. But I think that category is a little bit more competitive than people expect. But yeah.
So in terms of the Emmy race here, we've got Jodie Foster for True Detective, who is 100% getting in, right? There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Brie Larson, Lessons in Chemistry. Let me just pause for a second. As much as I like Brie Larson's Lessons in Chemistry, comparing that performance across 8 episodes against what Jessica Lange does here in an hour and 45 minutes, like apples and oranges. I mean, nothing against Brie Larson, but it's just it's such a different class. Just partially because Brie Larson was so, I think, miscast in this role.
I also think it's hard because it's like, you get, it's different kind of storytelling with, like, it's kind of weird that they have limited series and TV movie together, because it is like apples to oranges. It's like, you have to, if you see one episode, you might be like, oh, well, I didn't really think Brie Larson was that good in it. But then if you get to the end, it, like, there's this bigger payoff. Like, I think that it's kind of weird. Anyway.
I agree. But there's not enough TV movies to warrant their own independent acting categories.
Yeah.
So Brie Larson is in, like, that show is going to be, you know, in the Emmy conversation for sure.
Yeah.
Juno Temple. I would say Juno Temple is in as well.
Yeah, I think so too.
So that's three locked. Now, as I mentioned at the top, we had Anna Sawai from Shogun in here, but Shogun moved to the drama race because it has a second season coming out. So she's going to be in the drama actress category. So who else, if not Jessica Lange, like, if she can't get in there, who else does? And do you think Jessica Lange gets in?
I do think she's a shot at getting in.
I do too. If you think about some of the other things that are probably in contention, just in terms of, there's a lot of really famous names that could go in here, but I feel like there's not a lot of, like, huge support for the shows themselves. Not that that necessarily matters, but, like, I think I'm going to be really annoyed if, like, Kate Winslet gets in for The Regime, mainly because I can't finish that show, but I don't know if people see what she's doing and it's like super actory because she's doing an accent, she's being really over the top. Maybe they'll respond to that. Like the same thing with Naomi Watts. I feel like there's not a lot of support around Feud other than Tom Hollander. But I would not be surprised if that happened. And I think the other one, I think Sofia Vergara has a chance of getting in because that show was a hit. And she has been nominated. She's never won. But then, like, after that, like, Nicole Kidman's not going to get in for Expats. Not Annette Bening. I would love to see, like, Emma Corrin get in.
Yes.
Yes.
I was thinking that, or I also want to highlight Caitlin Dever for No One Will Save You, because she only has there are no lines in that movie, but she does a lot of amazing acting. And I wonder if they might go for something like that because it is different. I don't know. And she also has been nominated before. I think Emma Corrin and Caitlin Dever have chance at getting it. And I also think Elizabeth Moss, probably, just because people love Elizabeth Moss for The Veil.
Yeah, but
I don't think anyone has watched that.
Yeah, nobody's talking about that show.
That's true. I would agree. It could be something like, like Handmaids. Yeah. Like, or maybe they watched one. I don't know. I just wonder about that because there's always one that, like, shows up. They're like, oh, people watch that. And it's like, I feel like that could be one. I'm really hoping Emma Corrin gets in though.
I do too. I love that performance. I think they are fantastic in that role.
Yeah.
But I do agree with Joey that I think the sleeper here is Sofia Vergara for Griselda.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. She's like, I think she's four, like, of that list.
Yeah. And she was on the Hollywood Reporter cover. Is it the Hollywood Reporter or is it Variety?
Variety. Yeah, yeah.
Variety. Okay, Variety.
Yeah, like, I don't see someone like Joey King getting in, or the girl who's in, like, All the Light We Cannot See. The only person that I can think of that is super Emmy-y in a show that I'm not sure of anybody who watched it, and I'm just throwing it out there, is Uzo Aduba for Painkiller.
She was nominated for, was it Golden Globe or Critics' Choice?
I thought she was nominated at SAG, wasn't she?
Yeah, maybe it was SAG. She's always nominated at SAG. So, Foster Larson Temple. My problem with Naomi Watts here in this category is I don't think she's the lead. I don't think she's the female lead. There's a lot of focus on her within that show, but I I struggle with the material. I mean, I guess she does have that episode where her character dies at the end. No spoiler alert, but I guess.
Wow.
What?
Spoilers.
Well, I mean, it's based on a true story,
it's
but
history.
She's got this.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm joking with you.
She has this prolonged episode where she has died and she's like walking through her life. And I guess that kind of gives her a bit more presence, but to me, other actors stood out more than she did, which is why I kind of struggled to put her as lead.
Yuzo Aduba got in for SAG for Painkiller.
Okay. All right. I think we've all said it. It just feels like a lot of name checking this year, potential. And yeah. Joey, is Julianne Moore's going lead for Mary and George?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, oh God, I would love that. Just because it's just a fun. Any interview that I've watched with Julianne Moore, she's like having the time of her life with that show. She's just like, it's sexy.
I do think that it could help, like, not to get back to Emma Corrin, but I do think the fact that I feel like this is a little more open-ended category, that like who knows what's gonna happen, that could bode well for Emma Corrin, because their show was so like, because they're memorable, their show was longer ago, but it's like, oh, I've seen that one, I'm checking it off. Whereas a lot of these last minute ones, people might not have seen. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be the like the Chippendale, Welcome to Chippendales of this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where we didn't expect it. And all of a sudden five people from the show had any nominations.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if it's five slots, I have a hard time not seeing Kate Winslet in there because she's Kate Winslet, because people, you know, I don't think anybody, I think this is like the only nomination that the regime gets, right?
Like, and above, I do think, the line, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe even below the line. I don't know. Sofia Vergara. So that would be five right there. And then I think Jessica Lange Sofia Vergara would be number four. I agree with Megan. Kate Winslet would be five. Jessica Lange would be 5.5. That's kind of how I would rank it.
Yeah.
Right now. I don't know. It's so tricky. And it's interesting too, because none of the actresses that are, from Under the Bridge are going lead. Well, none of like, the names.
So the last 2 years there were six nominees. I think every other, well, other than the 2 years it was five. So yeah, it's mostly six, but it's mostly six.
Then that would bode well for Jessica Lange.
Yeah.
And I don't think anything, I mean, I think it probably gets into TV movie. I don't think it's going to win TV movie, but, and I would love to see Lily Rabe get in, because I feel like she's great in a lot of things and she doesn't get enough credit for it.
Mm-hmm. Especially good in this one. It was very moving to see her at the play. I thought that was a really moving moment.
Yes. And it's, like I said before, it's the antithesis of the melodrama, right? It's she gives a very non-melodramatic performance, I think. I think, you know, she's... Yeah, because if you look at supporting actress, that usually... Last year, that was in, what, eight, Joey? Was it supporting actress of limited series? Didn't they have eight? Or is that just drama?
Limited series, supporting, there's so many slots. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Seven. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's going to go Jennifer Jason Leigh, Jessica Gunning from Baby Reindeer. Probably Asia Naomi King for Lessons in Chemistry, Sandra Oh, Sympathizer, Kali Reese for True Detective. That's five. I would say Diane Lane. From Feud, maybe Lily Rabe can get in. Dakota Fanning for Ripley. You think she gets in, no. Joey?
I think the only person from Ripley that's going to get in is Andrew Scott. I think it would be... Okay, so I think if I think Dakota Fanning has a better shot than like Johnny Flynn.
Yeah.
But I see people predicting Johnny Flynn all over the place. And I was like, I beg of you to dig deeper, people. Beg of you. There's so many like good things that could get in there. I would rather see three men from freaking Fellow Travelers get in for over Yay Pride Month. Get in over you know, fucking I loved Ripley, but I was like, Johnny Flynn, okay. Pass.
Well, supporting actor is going to be Robert Downey Jr., Jonathan Bailey, Lewis Pullman, John Hawkes, and I think three guys from Fargo.
Wow.
I think they're going to fill those slots with Fargo because I think Joe Keery is going to get in. I think Lamone Morris is getting in, and I think David Riestall is getting in. My opinion.
And wait, is John Hamm going lead?
Yeah, John Hamm would go lead.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to, I really do. That's why I laughed so hard when I saw our friend leave Fargo off of the predictions list, because I think Television Academy is going to go really hard for this show. This is going to get 15 to 20 nominations.
Especially since it never really misses.
No, it never misses. And this is, it's, I've said it before, it's a masterpiece of a season. Hmm. I really need to rewatch it. I actually interviewed Joe Keery, and I was telling Joey, I'm like, I really should have rewatched this because I you know, when I saw it, I focused so much on like the leads. He's very, very good at it. He's so we'll see what happens. But so right now we're thinking Jessica Lange is set. Just to bring it back, we're thinking Jessica Lange's at six.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, hold on, I'm pulling up because I think we wanted to talk really briefly about actress in a limited series in general in terms of TV movie. So, I mean, going back, last year was all limited series. The year before that, all limited series. The year before that, all limited series. trying to find the last... Yeah, The Tale 2018 was the last time that anyone got in. Let me see. Nicole Kidman, Sarah Paulson, Olive Kitteridge, that was a limited series. Yeah, Game Changer was Temple the last Grandin? Time.
Was Temple Grandin? That was a TV movie, right?
Yeah, that was before Game Changer. Yeah. That was, so oh, it was right. Like,
yes.
Game Changer was 2012, Temple Grandin was 2010, and then like Jessica Lange won in 2009 for... Grey Gardens.
Well, you had Laura Linney winning in 2013 for The Big C.
Not a series, though.
That was a TV movie.
Oh, that's right. That was a movie as a sort of sequel to the show. You're right. So yeah.
But no, I'm sorry. That was a limited series because it was four episodes.
Okay. So what? The last one was Julia. Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yep.
Over 10 years ago.
What was 7 Seconds?
That was the one with Regina King about her. Didn't her son disappear?
Oh. Okay.
Did she win for that? I can't remember.
She did.
Wow.
That was during our Never Doubt Regina King phase.
Yeah. I still believe that.
You think she's getting in for... that surely. Netflix movie, Shirley?
No. Surely you jest.
Maybe. I haven't watched it. I didn't realize it was out.
Yeah, it was out. Like,
they quietly released that. I was surprised. Because I remember they're making such a big deal. Yeah, they dumped it.
Well, I think part of that had to do with the fact that she probably did not want to be doing press considering the events of her personal life.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Julianne Moore, Sarah Palin, Game Change, a movie that I highly recommend everybody go back and rewatch.
Oh, I love that movie.
That movie is so perfect. That should have been a theatrical release. She should have won an Oscar for that.
That would have been great. She,
in 2012, who was...
Jennifer Lawrence.
She was far better than Jennifer Lawrence in that movie.
I love Silver Linings Playbook.
I'm just saying that performance was better than Jennifer Lawrence's. Different apples.
I disagree.
Okay.
How dare me?
All right. Let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week before the claws come out. I'm kidding. Joey, let's start with you.
So I am the last person in the world, Megan will attest to this, and the last person in the world that has gotten into the podcast, How Did This Get Made.
My brother was shocked. He was like, he just heard of it. I'm like, no, he's heard of it. But he just took
it. I never watched it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going through. I realize I've been listening to a lot of the movies that I sort of just know, you know, like I listened to the one about the Meg, and then I just finished the one about Deep Blue Sea. So I was on apparently a big shark, How Did This Get Made kick. So there's that. And then I might watch a couple of movies that are in there. But then I really need to catch up on movies. There's a lot of movies that I really want to watch, like In a Violent Nature, Babes, oh, yeah. Evil Does Not Exist. Just a lot of stuff speaking of Kathy Bates, she has a wig in a movie called Summer Camp that I don't need to see because it'd be on like Paramount Plus in 2 days. But
Joey, how dare you?
Those movies come out like I didn't even know it was out. I haven't seen Furiosa yet or Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which I feel like that title gets longer and longer every time I hear it. And I'm desperate to see Babes. Desperate. So I am determined to stay on track this week, and I will go see something that is not a television show that I'm skimming to look at something for it.
All right.
Interviews.
Megan.
I am looking forward to, it's a busy week, doing more writing, I guess. I'm reading Paul Scheer's book, Joyful Recollections of Trauma, which is very good. Paul Scheer, who hosts How Did This Get Made? I can't remember the next movie they're doing, but I know they're doing The Happening soon, by the way, Joey.
I want to go to one of those live recordings and do the song.
I would love for you to do that.
I've actually only listened to live show episodes.
And so my sister quit listening to the podcast just because she doesn't like the live
show. Oh, those are so good.
I love the live show episodes. I love all the episodes. I'm trying to think of anything that I'm looking forward to this week. Just probably staying afloat. I started rewatching Arrested Development from the beginning. Ooh. And that's been a fun little treat. And I forgot how good that show is. It's so good, even though some episodes could not happen. Probably I can't think of anything. I need to see Furiosa. There are probably some other shows and movies I need to catch up on too, but that's what I'm looking forward to mostly.
Excellent. Well, I just subscribed to How Did This Get Made, and I am
Yay!
Going to listen to Madam Web live as soon as.
Oh my God!
Yes, that is so good.
Yes. There was I just listened to that one, and then I listened to the one about I used to love the movie Milk Money.
That one's a really good one.
That
too.
That was so funny too. So if you Melanie Griffith and Ed Harris. So I was like, I don't own Milk Money. And as soon as I listened to it, I ordered a DVD of it.
Oh my God,
it's
Joey.
It's coming to my house tomorrow.
Joseph Moser.
So excited. I have worse movies on my movie shelf. Let's get serious.
What,
Lars?
Nothing. I have nothing to say. Megan, were you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
Movies-wise, I am very interested to see if the early screening raves for Hitman will actually be rave-worthy, or if it'll be another Challengers or another
Fall Guy,
or any other thing.
I'm dying to see that, too. I didn't realize it was coming out.
Yeah, it's on Netflix this Friday. It should be in theaters, apparently, but it's only on Netflix. So I'll be doing a lot of Netflixing between that and Madam Web, so that I can prepare for listening to this podcast. No, I will not be watching Shirley. Thank you.
Like, and Shirley. Oh, I know another thing. I need to catch up on Drag Race. I've not watched any Drag Race at all for the new season. Can you believe that, Joey? And then I also have just...
All right.
I've just been behind. And they're also... I'm thinking about checking out that Renfair docuseries on HBO about Renaissance Festival. It looks kind of crazy.
Okay, excellent. And sorry, what network was that on?
HBO.
HBO. TV-wise, I have started on... Remember how I did the... watching all the X-Files?
I was just thinking about that the other day and how we got you the marathon sticker for your car.
You did. You did. I need to find that. I never put it on my car because I sold the car. So I think I should put it on my laptop. It's going to take, I'm not setting a specific time for this, but it's going to take a long time, but I'm going to watch all of the Survivors.
Oh, God. I love that for you.
And I have started with season 43 randomly. I'm going to do three. I'm going to jump back three every time. I don't know why. Don't ask. I have just been told that the last three were kind of crazy. Yes. So I'm going to watch all of Survivor.
Wait. So the most recent one was 44, right?
No, the most recent one was 46.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. So I watched 45. Then I think I skipped 44 and then I watched 43. So I think 43 is one I watched.
Is 45 the one with the controversial, there's a character who is, there was a player contestant who was outed as trans? Or
no,
is that 44?
Oh
God.
They weren't out. That's a while ago. There was one that the trans person was on a prescription drug that they had to force them out of it. I think that might've been 43.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
But the outing is like 10 years ago, I think, or something.
Oh, okay.
But 45 is really good. And I think 43 is good too.
Well, I was in love with 46. So
I just didn't. I think I need a break in between sometimes because it's just like the same people who are so psyched to be there. And I'm like, guys, like, cool your jets. Like, I kind of miss the days. I always say this. I miss the days when people weren't really sure what they were doing. And now it's like, as soon as they get on the island, they're like, okay, I've got to do this. I've got to do this. And I just think of like BB and Richard and all, like, how everybody didn't know what they were doing. And I kind of miss those days.
Yeah. Cause they're all, the first thing they get there, they're all looking for the individual immunity on.
Yes. It's nuts.
And, this season 43, one thing that's really interesting about it is that they really doubled down on emotional casting, where there's a Paralympian competing. There's a guy that had cerebral palsy as a child, and he was told he could never walk again. And now he's like this massive Hulk, like 6'4" guy. There's just a lot of people in the show that I'm like, oh, I really like them. That make, cause their story's really sad. Oh, I really like that person because their story is really sad. So there's a lot of that going on. There's this one guy who grew up in like Los Angeles, and he was a part of the gang community, and he was arrested and put in juvie. And while he was in juvie, they made him take a GED, and he scored the highest that they had ever seen in that particular community on the GED. So then he decided to go to, I think it was Berkeley, to get his college degree. And then he went to Duke and got a PhD in political science.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stories like that. And I'm like, no, you should win $1 million. You should win. And anyway, so it's going to take me a long, long time, but I'm in for it.
I love it.
I just started a book. It's called One Perfect Couple by Ruth Ware. And if you like Agatha Christie type stories, Ruth Ware is the modern, in my opinion, the modern day version of Agatha Christie. She's a tremendous thriller writer, and I've loved all of her books, and I've just started this one, which is ironically about a couple who goes to, I think is about a couple who goes on a Survivor / Bachelor type reality show. And it's been described to me that it's, and then there were none after that. So I'm assuming that all of these people are getting picked off one by one.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. So, One Perfect Couple by Ruth Ware. All right. So, does that cover it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3M's contributors, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at Awards Daily. And we all wish you a very pleasant day.